Amen. It's good to be here. I don't take this opportunity lightly. Okay, is that a trap door to that?
That's least your trial, brother.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't take it lightly. You know, as a pastor, I was a pastor for 22 years in the inner city of Rochester, New York. But I don't take it lightly when you get the opportunity to preach behind someone else's pulpit. Amen. I have one complaint, and it's a small one. I wonder how come it's not taller than this, but that's okay. I'm sure there's a history behind that. But anyhow, I don't know the church that well, but I do know Dale, and I know his family. And boy, they're a great credit to your ministry. You got powerful testimony. I love the brother. Looking forward to working with him in the jail ministry at some point. You know, but anyhow, I do know Joe Tassack. Amen. Joe bought my house from when I moved from the area that I was living in. And so, and there's a couple here, and I just don't remember that. I don't know how to pronounce your last names. I didn't mean to embarrass you. But I did, didn't I? Well, they came all the way from Rochester to hear me. That's not true either, is it? But anyhow, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here today. So please give them, show them the right hand of fellowship like you did with me. I appreciate it. You know, the love that I've received here already. This is my second time. My name. Let me give you my full name. They call me the evangelist Tony Chocolate Thunder Saxton. Your big, brown, baritone brother from another mother, but the same Heavenly Father, if God is your Heavenly Father. The husband of Yvonne Brown Sugar, Sugar Ray Leonard. Every woman's got a little Sugar Ray in them. Sugarfoot Saxton. And she couldn't be with us today. Amen. So keep her in prayer. She's not feeling that well. But by way of a short testimony, I was sent out to, I got saved at First Bible Baptist Church at ministry back in 1979. Wow. Amen. So I've been saved for quite a long time. Amen. And I was sent out to pastor a church by Fred Sampson at Calvary Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, same church that Hector Sotomayor pastors now. Amen. I pastored for 22 years in the inner city of Rochester, New York. And I transitioned back in 2012 into the ministry of an evangelist. And I really like the distinction of having been a pastor, because now I can honestly say that I'm an evangelist with the heart of a pastor. Amen. And so I don't know if that's, if you want any more than that, I can send you some literature, brother, but other than that, I'm just ready to go ahead and preach. Amen. And so, Father, we come before you in what little time that we have in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, this has been, you already know, Lord, one of my favorite prayers, dear Father, for the church. And Lord, I echo what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us with might by your Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would dwell or abide in our hearts by faith. But then and only then we'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of your love, that we might know by experience the love of God that passes knowledge as a result of being filled with your Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Now, Father, you said that your word said you can do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And let me add, pray or say, through the power of the Holy Spirit, who's already at work in our hearts. God, I believe your greatest work as it concerns mankind is a work that you want to and can do in our hearts. I think of that verse over in, I believe it's 1 Chronicles 16:9. Your word says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for that one heart that is strong towards him. God, help us now, I pray, as we reflect on that today, in Jesus' name. I'd like to open up with a song. This has become one of my favorite songs, and brethren, I wish I had it. Do you know the Be Thou My Vision? Do you know the song?
No.
Oh, geez, I wish you did. I'd help you. I'd have you sing with me, but anyhow, I don't even know it that well. But I am baritone, so we get by with a lot of stuff, don't we? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, naught be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my armor, and be thou my might. Thou my soul shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Amen.
Well, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. Especially, and I have to say this, those who reflect our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen. They are worthy of at least double honor, but we reserve highest honor for our Heavenly Father. Because he is the epitome. He is the epitome of a father. He is a perfect father. And he's the only father that I know. My mother died when I was 3 years old. So I missed out on a lot of the whole mothering perspective of life. And that's kind of like a vacuum in my life. It really is. But that's all I want to say about that. But, you know, we didn't have a father around. And when my mother left, there was eight of us. When she left here, it was eight of us. And so today, I really don't know who my biological father is. But you can't miss what you can't measure. Amen. Hey, I know who my Heavenly Father is. Amen. And he is a perfect dad. And so even as I thought about what to preach on today, and I talked to your pastor, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity, I felt like I would rather focus more on the Heavenly Father than our earthly fatherhood. However, one of the things I would like to emphasize is how we can be a reflection of the Heavenly Father. The only way, I think, that we can be a reflection. Now, let me ask you something as we get receive gifts. And I do appreciate my back scratching. I really, really do. I think I can do a number of things with this. I can use it as something to, you know, pull up my shoes and whatever. But anyhow. And I got to hide it from my wife because I'm not going to let her, I can let her use it. But anyhow. But no, as we give our gifts, and we should. You know, we should honor our Father because we're commanded to. And once again, you know, especially those who are a reflection of the Heavenly Father, they deserve double honor. But let me ask you a question. Has anybody thought about what we might be able to give God today? Amen? Let me ask you another question. What do you think is the one thing that God wants from each and every one of us more than anything else? I'm going to give you a second to answer that. What do you think is the thing that God wants more from you and I than anything else? I'm sorry? Obedience. That's a good one. Someone else. Help me out here. I'm sorry?
Your soul.
Your soul. I knew you were going to say that. Somebody else. Give me one more. Over here.
Yielded heart.
Heart
that's yielded.
You saw my notes, didn't you? What about the young man in front of you? The little fella in front of you. What were you going
to
say?
Everybody
gets, these are all good answers, amen. But this brother saw my notes, so I'm gonna choose that one because I can preach on either one of those, amen. But we're gonna stay right there. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, 26. God speaking by his spirit through Solomon. And you thought that Solomon was just talking to his son. He said, my son. And if anybody has any gender issues here, and I doubt if you do. He's also speaking to his daughter. And every man and woman, boy and girl. Amen. We all are God's offspring by creation. We're not his child unless we get saved. Amen. But God did create us. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. I see that as an admonition, as a warning, amen, as an encouragement. I see it also as a commandment. And I see it's for our own good. My son, give me thine heart. Then he goes on to say, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And I'm going to tell you what I hear, brother, when I look at that verse. I hear him saying, listen, give me your heart and observe what I can do with it.
Amen.
Observe what I can. Listen, I believe that God, as it relates to us, does his best work in the heart of mankind, men and women, boys and girls. God says to give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my way. Watch what I do with your heart. Well, God, you know, I got to ask you a question, Lord. We talked about this, and let me ask you again in front of the audience here. Lord, why would you want my heart? Especially in reference to what you said over in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. I can't walk too far out of range of this, right? Because I'm a walker and a talker. But anyhow. No, I'll be good. I'll behave myself. But listen, Jeremiah 17:9. What does Jeremiah 17:9 say? We ought to know that one by heart.
That's right.
The heart is what? The heart is what? The heart is deceitful. It doesn't just say deceitful, but it says above all things. All means all. Listen, the most deceitful thing, the most despicable thing there is, according to the word of God, is your heart before you got saved. You believe that? I'm not picking on you, son. I'm just trying to keep you awake. Don't go to sleep on me. I got a squirt gun right here. But anyhow. And you're looking for it, aren't you? Your heart, the heart of man is deceitful. Above all things, and he didn't stop there. He said, and desperately. He didn't say wicked. Do you believe that about yourself?
No.
I mean, if we're gonna know the truth,
no.
The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Right. Who can know it? Well, God says, I know the heart. But yet I still want it. How deceitful, how wicked. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. And this is just a short list of things that he makes reference to concerning the heart. Matthew chapter 15. I got a cheat sheet here. I got these verses written out, so I'm going to read them while you look them up. God wants our hearts in spite of knowing them based on Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God said our hearts are evil because, look at Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. And this is a short list. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. You might say, well, that's not my heart. You don't know your heart. You know, by nature, folks, and we're going to touch on that, why? We are capable of doing anything that the next man or woman is capable of doing. By nature. Now, this is God's short list. I've never committed adultery. Lord, I've never fornicated. I never had evil thoughts, so I never murdered anybody or stole anything. By God's standard, we have. And I'm not here trying to condemn anybody or have a present to you a condescending attitude like I'm up here and you're down there. This is filtered through me. And I want to leave you with some hope. We just got to start with the bad news first. The really good news is, in spite of all this, God wants our hearts. I said a short list. Look over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 23. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Well, you guys are really quick. I don't believe half of you. Well, that's kind of wishful thinking, but anyhow, of course, I'm not there yet. I used to be one of the best Bible drillers around, but when you get a little older, you get a little slower, and I'm kind of stalling a little bit. Young man, read Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Come on up here. You got a big voice. I've heard you sing.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry.
Wait, what's that lasciviousness? Is that evil, lustful desires and those things that we see on television that we don't turn to? But anyhow, go ahead.
Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, seditions or strife, seditions and heresies.
I don't need to see any more lists. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord said, I know the heart. I know what the heart is capable of doing. Matter of fact, I know what you're thinking of even before you think it. But yet, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. And look what I do with it. I do my best work in the heart of man. Because I love you. Now, let me ask you another question. Why is the heart so significant to God? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. Are you saints with me this morning? It doesn't sound like a happy Father's Day message, but it's the truth. If you can endure Hector and what he did the last time he was here, my goodness, what a fireball. I tell you what, great preaching. Matter of fact, we're going to touch on something that he said about what it takes to be a man, a real man. Amen? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Now that's what God says. All life springs from the heart. You know, even before we get to that point, another reason why God wants a heart is in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. You can turn there if you like, but I'm going to move along quickly. The word of God says, for thus saith the high and the lofty one. We're talking about the Most High God here. The one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and the holy place. We're talking about God. And with him also that is of a... Wait a minute now. He's the Most High God. And he dwells up here. Now, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. Amen. He's everywhere present. All right. Now, he said, I dwell in the high and the holy place, but with him also. God humbles himself to dwell in our hearts. He loves us that much. Even though he hates sin. Why do you think God hates sin so much? Another good question. I'm ready to answer that. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death to you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and especially in your relationship with him. He knows that we're sinners by nature, but yet, as much as he hates sin, he... For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humility is the key that opens the door to all of God's blessings, man. If you don't come before him humbly, he'll resist you because of who he is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Why does he want to dwell in your heart? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants to quicken our hearts. Before a person gets saved, they're spiritually dead to God, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. However, God loves us so much in spite of the wicked heart that we have. He wants to dwell in our hearts by faith. So that he can change us from the inside out.
Right.
To be a reflection of who he is.
Amen.
I want you to listen to this very carefully. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here. It's going to take about 3 to 5 minutes, but... I don't have it committed to memory yet, but I'm just learning about how important this heart is to God. The heart, biblically speaking, is the center of all spiritual, emotional, and physical activity. The heart, spiritually speaking, enables you to communicate or fellowship with God. If you're not saved, the Bible says you are spiritually dead to God. If and when you get saved, the Lord quickens, revives, or enlivens the heart. He simultaneously comes to live in our hearts, or the inner man, by his spirit. According to Isaiah 57:15, we just read that. Now watch this. The words heart and soul, because they speak of the inner man, are often used interchangeably in God's word. The soul is a trichotomy. It is made up of the mind, and we call that the thinker, the emotions, we call that the feeler and the will or the chooser. If our heart is not quickened spiritually, our soul won't function the way the Lord created it to. Consequently, not only will we be unhealthy spiritually, also mentally, emotionally, and physically. We will be unhealthy holistically in every facet of our lives. We will be destined to live according to our will as opposed to God's will. Physically speaking, the heart is one of the most significant organs in the human body as it supplies blood and oxygen to all the organs in our body. If the heart is not functioning properly, you are at the risk of physically dying. That's the significance of the heart. Now, I don't want to stand up here like I'm some kind of scholar because I'm not. But I am gaining some understanding about the importance of the heart to God. My son, my daughter, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways, and watch what I do with your heart. I do my best work in the heart of man, I want to dwell in your heart, and I want to change it from the inside out.
Amen.
It's God who worketh in you, both to will, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, according to Philippians chapter 2. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's ultimate goal in our life is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We know all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his
Amen.
God wants to save us so that he can conform us to the image that he created the first man in. And he wants to do it by working through our hearts. But we have to be willing to commit our hearts totally and completely to him. First of all, for the purpose of getting saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You notice that heart keeps creeping up. You know, the word of God gives at least 700 to 800 references to the heart in the word of God. Is that significant to God?
That's right.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Man. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, because there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, or the black or the white, or the yellow, or the red. And by the way, I'm not really chocolate, not dark chocolate, I'm milk chocolate. Not to be confused with Daryl Dawkins. But all kidding aside, God doesn't make a distinction. Well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By sincerely receiving Jesus Christ in your heart. And if you're saved here today, that's exactly what you did. God convicted your heart. He worked in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You know, by my testimony, and I'm sure this is your testimony, before I got saved, I didn't want any peace of God. As a matter of fact, I'm a walker. Hey, what's up? But anyhow, I ran from God.
That's right.
By nature, we run from God.
Yep.
Because of that sin nature that we were born with. We don't want God to rule over us. Listen, we were born with Adam's sin nature. Mm-hmm. We were infested with it, inoculated with it. If, I don't know another I word, but anyhow, you know, trying to use the liberation thing with us. We run from it. But because God loves us, he pursues us. And he draws us with bands and cords of loving kindness. I told you, my mother died when I was 3 years old. I missed that motherly love. Nobody could love me the way my mama did. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places growing up. So that led me to do a whole lot of things, man, that I'm too embarrassed to talk to you about now.
Amen.
Didn't realize that God, who is love, was pursuing me and providing for me all of my life until I became a Christian. Mm-hmm. And didn't realize it until I got saved. That the Bible says that when your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord will take you up.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. He's good.
God was pursuing my heart. And I finally surrendered my heart to him. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
God is working in my heart now. To conform me to the image of his son.
Amen.
But it's my responsibility to humble myself now that I am saved daily. I wish I had started as young as you are. Were you? My son, my daughter, or you? You know, this message was a lot longer, but I don't think you need a long message. So I'm editing as I go. My brethren, let me say this. The world says, society says that fathers are no longer necessary. The world puts homosexuals before us. I don't blame the world as much as I blame us.
No.
If more of God's men would give God their hearts, first of all, be saved. And then after we get saved, watch this. Give God our hearts daily. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily.
Amen.
And know what it means to live a Christ-centered life as opposed to a self-centered life. I believe that we would gain more respect and more honor as men of God. Now, this is a fine church. I've been here and I've heard some great things about you. And so I want to include you in this next comment that I'm making. And not just to brown nose you, but to say this. In every age, God always has a remnant. A small portion of his people who have not bowed their heart to the devil. And in essence, that's what we do when we don't give God our hearts daily. Daily. We're giving our hearts to the enemy. And all you need to do is just look around you. Why is there so much confusion? Why is Rochester, man, becoming a place where people are even afraid to go to anymore?
Yeah, I'm not.
And as much as I love it, I'm starting to think, well, maybe getting kind of dangerous around here. What am I saying? If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Give me their hearts. Starting with the men. Children's children are the crown of old men and the glory of the children. Fathers. I'd like to be part of that remnant. And sometimes I am, and there's other times I know. Man, I was praying all day yesterday. Lord, please, would you please just take this wicked heart of mine? Would you revive it? Would you create in me a clean heart? Would you do a great work in my heart? God, I'm not in a good place. I'm not sure if I have anything for those people tomorrow. Would you please fix my heart? Folks, we live in a day and an age. And I don't want to leave you folks out over here. Can you see over here? We live in the age that is referred to as the Laodicean church age. And I don't know if you believe that or not, you know, that God can speak to any age if he wants to, any way he wants to. But as I look at scripture and I line up scripture to what's going on in our lives today, I can easily look and see how this relates to Revelation chapter 3 Holy Spirit just said to turn there. I know you want me out by 12, so. Revelation chapter 3. Let's familiarize ourselves even more with this before we get too familiar and see where we fit in. I know where I fit. I'm not very proud of myself. Look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. You know, that word is characterized by people that doesn't want God to rule over them. Self-rule. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Pastor, you're smarter than me. Did I know? Amen. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Just talking about Jesus. I know thy works. He knows everything that we do, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, not even the Lord. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Then he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In a very strict spiritual, scriptural sense, he's talking to Christians here. If any man, once again, man, woman, boy or girl, hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know what I hear the Spirit saying? My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. My ways are not your ways. Neither my thoughts your thoughts. As high as the heaven is from the earth, and so in my ways are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You can't understand why I would want your wicked heart. But I want your heart because I love you. And because I want to dwell there by faith. I want to work in you by my Spirit to conform you, to transform you. If you would just yield. Now some of you smart ones out there saying, well, listen, I'm saved and I know that one day I'm going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Quicker than a blink. God's going to change me. I'm going to be conformed in your right. But the only way that we can be a reflection of the Heavenly Father, the only way we can be like Christ today, do you know that women are to be a reflection of the Heavenly Father too. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you know that there's a nurturing side of God? His name is El Shaddai, the breasted one. God's a nurturer. He wants us to honor our mothers and our fathers because they should be a reflection of him. And if we can't honor them for being that reflection, we need to honor them for God allowing them to become our parents. I don't know why God chose that guy that fathered me. I don't understand all of that. There's a measure of honor that I have for him. He's dead and gone now, I think. At least they told me. Let's wrap this up by just saying this. God wants your heart. And he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy or girl, would hear me calling out. What's your name, son?
Timothy.
You had to sit up front, didn't you? Which is
John.
John. Timmy. He stands at the door and knocks at John.
Vaughn.
Dead. Paul prayed, and I opened up with that prayer. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prayed that thou would strengthen us with might by his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ can dwell or abide in our hearts by faith. So that we can be rooted and grounded in his love. Being able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of his, all the dimensions of his love. So that we might know Christ by experience, not just head knowledge. As a result of the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts, we're filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is God's love. So that God would do it. There's no limit to what God would do to a man or woman who gives their heart totally to the kingdom. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. According to the power of the Spirit that dwells in our hearts. So that we can experience God's love. Embrace it. What's this look like? Embrace. Express his love. To God, the only way you can love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you got to experience that love and express it back to him. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't do that in the flesh. To love one another, each other, the way God loves us. We got to give our hearts to God. Let me close with this thought. Hector talked about what it takes to be a man. The last time, ladies, you hear the message. You gotcha. You want to be a man of God? Give God a shot. It starts with salvation. And it continues on a daily basis. Pastor. You do as God leads. I just stopped by to motivate, challenge, and encourage you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We all should be playing.